You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, September 10th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app, or on social media, or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Do you make a casserole with tater tots? I mean, I've made casseroles before, but I finally crossed a threshold in the use of tater tots, and it has more to do with my love of my cast iron skillets than anything else, but we'll get into food talk coming up in just a bit. But I feel like I've either crossed some kind of a boundary in my kitchen or with my age that I'm now using tater tots in my casserole. All right, and much more important news coming up later in the show. We're going to talk live with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, the most recent candidate to get into the 2026 race for Wisconsin governor. We'll talk about his decision to run and what he wants voters to know about his experience and his positions. As the field grows a little bit larger and more candidates yet to be expected to run for the governor's post next year, with Tony Evers not running for a third term. In this hour, well, Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things. It's already well documented that Derek Van Orden spends a lot of time scrolling and trolling through social media, but even by his standards, it was weird that he put a new comment on a photo from a post from 2 years ago. Even weirder, the photo he commented on shows him on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021, and the comment he put was, "Hell yes." Now, Van Orden claims he did not take part in the domestic terrorism that followed on that fateful day, but really, is it that much better to simply be a spectator to a treasonous mob after deciding he would fly there to support a knowingly false claim about the 2020 election? And oh, wait, there's more. Wait till you hear what he had to say yesterday about the Epstein Files case. Also, I had one of the biggest billion-dollar surprises in Wisconsin, I think, would be if you were to find out how many taxpayers have no idea how much public tax money is going to the private school voucher scheme. It's more than $700 million this year, and it is getting close to that 10-digit annual payout. And we'll tell you how a group is launching a transparency campaign to build public awareness before this program swallows up more of the state budget and skims even more resources away from our neighborhood schools. We'll have a guest from Clean Wisconsin on how all those massive new data centers are sucking up groundwater wherever they pop up. That might be good for all these servers and their artificial intelligence, but not so good for the neighbors whose wells have run dry. So all of that ahead between now and 9 a.m. And if you can't stick around for all of it, that's why we got a podcast version of this program as well. You skip the commercials and everything else. So head over to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and become a subscriber and catch everything that we are working on. Let's look at the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who will be here less than an hour from now. She says better weather is around the corner, cranking up the humidity and the temperatures for the weekend. So summer will make a return. And I guess you could say tomorrow, roughly, is when summer comes back for a spell. I don't know how long. It looks like, you know, a good week or so of summer-like weather is coming back. For today, however, isolated showers to start the day, then more spots of sun later on. Highs will be in the upper 60s up north to the mid-70s south, with a light southeasterly wind. For tonight, mixed skies and mild, Brittany says. Lows tonight around 50 up north, 55 to the south, with a light wind out of the east. Right now, it is 59 degrees here in Chippewa Falls and just pleasant as all get out. What do you say we check the conditions in Madison? Head down to Madison Studio A2 at Civic Media's Global HQ at the top of State Street, one block off the Capitol Square, where Parker Olson's camouflaged. There's a Civic Media banner behind him. I think that's a Civic Media t-shirt he's wearing. I can't see him with all the Civic Media logos around.
I'm everywhere. You can't find me.
Yeah, I can hear you, though. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty well, Pat. Nice-ish, I think. It felt nice when I walked out the door, but I was not out the door for very long because I woke up very late today and got up, dressed, and to work in about 25 minutes, half an hour.
who doesn't love that routine when you wake up and realize, oh no, It's time for the speed round of getting ready. I feel very fortunate, knock on some wood here. I have not had to do that yet for this particular, show, but there have been plenty of times in the past where you just kind of open your eyes, and especially if both spouses forget to set an alarm and eventually one wakes up and you hear the other one going, oh no. And you're shooting out of bed and flying around to get ready. Tony asks on YouTube, is it because you stayed up late listening to Stacey Abrams and Madison last night for Cap Time's Idea Fest?
I should have. That's a better idea than what I did because I just watched the Brewers lose.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't pleasant at all. We'll get to that in just a bit. So what did the alarm go off or was the alarm just not set?
Oh, the alarm went off. There's four alarms, Pat.
Oh, this is a four-alarm job that you have. This is great.
Yes. There are contingency plans, and those contingencies did not work. And thankfully, I'm too anxious to miss work to miss all work. Right. So,
see, anxiety, you can use it to the good. So, yeah, you got that going.
Got
for
my
you.
Stamp of approval.
Which is nice. Well, let's see. I already connected with some folks here on YouTube. Michael saying tater tot casserole is the best. I made it last night, he says. Tony says, I love tater tot casserole. So there you go. The story on that is there was a block party here, and then we did not know if we were going to go to it or not in our neighborhood. And as you know, we ended up going out of town to visit some friends. But I had all the ingredients just in case. And for this particular gathering, I thought, well, let's make some kind of a casserole. Then I realized when I make something, it's usually like pasta based like some elbow macaroni or noodles or whatever. And the whole reason I've never used tater tots is because it sounds like too cliche. Like that's what every Midwesterner does is they put the tater tots and then they put the green beans in there and all that. I'm just like, it's, I don't want to do that.
It's very stereotypical.
What I found was basically a cheesy, cheeseburger casserole with tater tots.
Ooh.
So it was ground beef and cream of mushroom soup and then just the right combination of spices and then some sharp cheddar cheese. That to me made all the difference.
Yeah.
And then throw the tater tots on top, throw it all in a big old cast iron skillet and put that thing in the oven. And oh man, when you think tater tot casserole, what do you think? You think bland, right? I'm not saying this was spicy. I'm just saying it was the recipe I found online.
That sharp cheddar really got you.
The sharp cheddar really does it. No, that and the other spices. Speaking of the skillet, Tony asks, did Pat make shepherd's pie last weekend? No, I did not. I know I said I was going to. And like I said, plans changed. But there will be before too long. Roger on Facebook writes from Stevens Point, a tater tot casserole isn't a tater tot casserole until it includes the second ingredient, cream of mushroom soup. Yes, that's very true.
So you passed, Pat.
I had that. I just went with the ground beef and the extra sharp cheddar, the secret ingredient.
Very important.
I love that this is also new to Parker. Like, oh, God, he's talking about cream of mushroom soup and tater tots.
But yeah.
There are other things I could be talking about.
This is
in
true. I would rather hear this than DVO talk.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Derek Van Orden and what all he had to say recently coming up before long. But I suppose we better get back to the Brewers game from yesterday. But let me take you all the way back to May 19th.
Oh.
When Michael Hellman was just a sad little rookie who had been put on waivers by Pittsburgh and picked up by the Texas Rangers. Michael Hellman has found his groove in Arlington, and he has made life miserable this week for the Milwaukee Brewers. On Monday, he hit his first ever grand slam and had five RBIs total. And then last night, Hellman hit a two-run homer and made a leaping backhanded catch over the fence in left center to rob Bryce Durang as the Rangers beat the Brewers again. This time the score was 5-4. And the Cubs also won. So the Brewers' magic number to clinch a playoff spot remains at 2 to clinch the division 11, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
so. We move on from here. We wrap up the series with a day game today. It'll be Freddy Peralta going for his league-leading 17th win if he were to get it today in Game 3 of the series. The pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, and then a day off tomorrow, and it's back home for a weekend series with the St. Louis Cardinals. So it would be nice to have the Brewers get back to their winning ways, especially this afternoon, but certainly in time for a division series against the Cardinals.
Yeah, it'd be really nice if the Brewers could find a way to hit the ball where people aren't.
Oh my gosh, have they had a habit of that
yeah,
in some of these games.
I don't know how many people have been watching these games instead of just listening on the radio, and I'm sure it comes across on the radio too, but my goodness,
yeah,
they are finding gloves like nobody else.
It's almost like, you know, the reverse method. Like they're like, here are the outfielders, hit the ball to the target.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if or how they would even track this, but if there were a stat for hardest hit balls that were caught directly by the outfielder,
yeah,
that, you know, had they landed just a few feet either side would have gone to the fence.
Yeah.
The Brewers got to be way up there on that.
I would think even infield hit infield too, because there was the first baseman for the Rangers last night had like three, like, look what I found catches. Like,
yeah. Yep. It happens. All right. Let's move over to football here, where I just heard this from Mike Clemens and had to confirm it myself. I had to see it to believe it. Christian Watson signing a 1-year deal, an extension for his contract worth $13 million through 2026. He is still recovering from an ACL injury, and then I know he had some other injury before that. So apparently he's supposed to be back later in the season or not. You know, we'll see. The thing is, again, he is clearly a talented receiver, very talented. But, I mean, he and Garrett Mitchell for the Brewers. I mean,
even Garrett Mitchell, man.
I mean, those two just cannot stay healthy for as much talent as they have. And it's just look, it's frustrating for the fans. It's got to be massively frustrating for them.
Okay.
Although for them, they still get these $1 million paychecks. So maybe it is a little bit more frustrating for us.
True.
Because nobody's giving us $1 million for our frustration. But the Packers are on a short week. They're a little banged up. This could make things difficult tomorrow. Yes, I said tomorrow. The Packers kick off week 2 of the football season, hosting the Washington Commanders. Coverage will begin tomorrow at 5 p.m. on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, WAUH in Wautoma. And, of course, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing at Alabama this Saturday. Coverage begins at 9 o'clock Saturday morning on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. All right, well, when we come back, we will talk about Derek Van Orden and the way he just casually dismissed one of the latest things we've learned about the Epstein Files case. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tomorrow in our homeroom segment, helping taxpayers understand just how much the private school voucher scheme is taking out of our wallets and out of our hometown schools. Heather Dubois-Bornon will talk about a new campaign aimed at that taxpayer transparency that is coming up. I should have mentioned in sports as well. I didn't see it, just heard about it this morning, but the Bears just completely bared last night, apparently ahead handily, but then the Vikings and JJ McCarthy managed to come all the way back and rallied to win over the Bears late in the game, 27-24. Couldn't happen to a better bunch of folks. David Crawley, the Milwaukee County executive, early this morning made official. He is a candidate for governor, so we will be talking about that later in the morning as well. Now, today's history lesson is only, about 12 minutes away or so. So let me tease you for today's history lesson with a little musical trivia. One of the songs we're going to include is from 1978. The song is Boogie Oogie Oogie from A Taste of Honey. That's the group. My question is, who's doing this iconic bass line? Who's that on the bass? We'll answer that question and more in today's history lesson coming up in just a little bit on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it appears that Congressman Derek Van Orden, who has not hosted a town hall in recent memory, did host some kind of an event in, where was it? Was it Galesville? It was a no tax on tips event at a bar. And there was a story on it by a La Crosse TV station, WKBT. And to read the story, you would think that this was just an entirely positive event and that nobody had any tough questions for the congressman, not in the audience and not in the media as well. It was all about emphasizing, as the WKBT story says, emphasizing the potential financial benefits for service industry workers. The story says Wisconsin's 3rd District representative used the Galesville venue to showcase how the tax policy would directly impact food service employees who rely on gratuities as a significant portion of their income. Van Orden said, we're talking about $25,000 a year worth of tax breaks on tips, and that's the right thing to do, end quote. And the story concludes, Van Orden highlighted the savings and tax cuts that Republicans and President Trump secured for Americans during the previous administration. The congressman framed the no tax on tips proposal as part of a broader Republican economic agenda aimed at reducing the tax burden on working Americans. And that's the end of the story, kids. That's the end of the quote-unquote news coverage. Pardon me for a moment while I let out a deep sigh. I don't know who covered this. I don't know who wrote this. I am not here to single them out other than to say it is a story that is indeed quite representative of how Derek Van Orden has been covered by local news outlets that are, shall we say, bereft of experienced journalists. I mean, was this a town hall? Was this a fundraiser? Was this a drop-in? He has been hiding from his constituents for months. Covering him should kind of be a bigger deal, assuming there were people there who were not simply fawning over him and could ask some tough questions about the real world impact of what it is he voted for. So I am again asking, maybe not begging, but pretty close to demanding that local reporters in and around the 3rd Congressional District stop being stenographers, ask well-prepared questions. Don't accept answers that are evasive or rude, as Van Orden is wont to do. Or don't worry about asking questions to a guy who's going to be evasive and rude, but at least make sure that your story includes the full story about the claims he's making. For example, the WKBT story could simply go on to say the following. What Congressman Van Orden did not mention at his party is that a review of the bill he supported shows that of the only 3% of American workers who get tips, this change only affects about 1/3 of them. Many tipped workers have such a low income that a deduction from that tipped income would do almost nothing for them. And they'd still have to pay payroll taxes, Social Security and otherwise, state income taxes, and so on. And as for the tax break on overtime, which is typically paid at time and a half, the tax break is only eliminated on the half, And the regular pay level for those working overtime still pays at the same tax rate as before. That's it. That's all that story would have needed to be more complete and, frankly, more fair to the viewer. What I just said there, that part that I added, there is nothing in there that is partisan. There is nothing in there that is even remotely political. What it is journalism. Don't cover the event. Cover the story. The story is a congressman coming out of hiding, saying a bill does one thing, but he's not telling you the whole thing. And when your congressman is not being on the level with you, that's where journalism becomes the public service. We talk about elected officials being public servants. They really, so many of them don't think of themselves that way anymore. And too many journalists think of themselves as just part of, you know, an ownership group, another cog in the business of media. No, you're engaged in a public service as much, if not more so, than the elected officials that you're covering. So perform that public service and tell the full story. If the politician won't answer your questions or if the politician's going to be rude, then simply note that in the story. But then get all the details out there for your viewer, for your listener, for your reader. That really is the least you can do if you're going to have a role in media covering our elected officials in this day and age. All right, coming up, we will have today's history lesson, including who is on that iconic baseline from Boogie Oogie Oogie. In the meantime, here comes the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, September 9th. Nice to have you up north here on Lake Wissota. Then there's people like Jeff Renicky who go, you're not up north. He's up north. And we'll talk to him about Friends of the Apostle Islands and just basically what is the state of our national parks and related areas as we are now 7-8 months into the Trump administration's willful neglect of our national parks and other areas. So Jeff Renicky coming up in just a bit. And then a little later on this hour, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association will talk a bit more about the growth of tourism across rural Wisconsin. But first, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot, because speaking of the Ashland area, it looks on my radar view like they've been the unwitting victims of some training of some heavy rain that's just scrolling right across that northern edge of the state. Brittany, good morning. How are things looking?
Good morning. Yes, Highway 2 looks pretty wet out there. A flash flood warning is in effect pretty much that Ashland area off of Highway 2. About 1.5 to 3 inches have already fallen. Thankfully, it's looking like it's easing up and starting to move out of the area, but it doesn't mean you're done yet. We're still looking at rain chances sparking up later this morning, more numerous and starting to move towards central Wisconsin by this afternoon. And then by this evening and tomorrow morning, headed towards the Madison and Fox Valley area. So a cloudier day today. We are looking at temperatures making it to the mid-60s up north where the clouds are going to be hanging out. A little bit more spots of sunshine down south today. Mid-70s are expected. Same temperatures tomorrow, too, as the system continues to work through the state. Tomorrow, we'll see more sunshine further northwest. More of that rain starting to try to make its way towards Madison and, like I said, the Fox Valley, but it does ease up and die out. You're not looking at heavy rainfall amounts. Well, today, we still have that risk of a good 1 to 3 inches possible in parts of central Wisconsin. So we could see more flash flood warnings going out throughout the day, but by Thursday and Friday and even into this weekend, we're looking at a major warm-up. By Friday, we're going to hit about 80 degrees throughout the state, and we're going to hold on to that for the weekend, and it's going to get a little bit muggy too. So summer is back and it's around the corner.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, so summer can come back for a little bit longer. I don't mind that.
That's this little
Yeah, this little taste of fall was fine. Now, again, we don't know where everything's going to develop exactly, but I will say that what's happening in northern Dunn County right now, because I looked out the window, I was like, it's starting to look a little ominous here, like it wants to rain. And sure enough, on the radar, a little something's forming in Dunn County, whether it's one of those scattered things that comes and goes, I don't know. But some folks in the Chippewa Valley looks like we're about to get some sprinkles on our windshield, whether we like it or not. But
don't forget that umbrella today.
Glad to hear about the warm-up that's on the way. Let's see, from Rob in Tigerton, we get good morning. It's partly cloudy, 54 degrees. Yesterday was a very beautiful day. Oh, was it ever. Mm-hmm. I ditched the hoodie at 9 a.m., mowed 4 yards in the Wittenberg area. Says he was on the homecoming court for Tigerton his senior year. One of the rewards of playing football for a small town football team back in 1985. Said he loved watching the Vikings come from behind to beat the Bears last night. Way back in 1961, the Minnesota Vikings' first ever win was a 37-14 victory over the Bears. And he says, I love going to parks for the fall colors. We'll be talking about national parks in just a bit. Says, I have to get my tire fixed on my John Deere. It has a slow air leak, and I've got to air it up once a week to get that problem solved. I think we should look for a more permanent fix there, Rob. Yeah, let's do that. And Brittany is the best meteorologist. Civic Media should be honored to have the best meteorologist. Like,
thank you, Rob.
Gosh, yeah. Tony notes that it has been raining in Ashland since last night and says, yes, he thinks that they have a flood warning up there. So that's, it looks like it's just going to be doing that thing for a while. So
it sure is. Oh, yeah. And I got a comment on last night's game. That was fantastic, because did you realize that the quarterback for the Vikings, right? He's not only the youngest, he looks like a little baby. He's so cute, right? But he's from Chicago. So he beat Chicago there. So at his hometown. And I just, that's cool to me.
I did not know that about JJ McCarthy. I'm just glad I'm thinking about somebody other than Mike McCarthy. I'm glad that, that we've got JJ McCarthy to look forward to now. Yes.
Mike McCarthy got a really good reception, though. He was at honored at halftime because they were doing the 2010 Super Bowl team at the Packer game, and he got a really big standing ovation. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. So here's the thing for Mike McCarthy. Yeah, we were happy to kind of boo him when he was with Dallas and all that, but he never trashed Green Bay. And, you know, he never went the whole diva route. No, and so, he comes back in. And, compare that to two former quarterbacks and where the reception's been a little bit different. So, you know, if you want to move on from Green Bay, that's fine. Just don't be a diva. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Favre got, a good day. When they retired his number, he was well-received that day.
Well, yes, he was. Yes. But in part, it was in part because we'd seen how well he did with the Jets and with the Vikings.
True.
That felt good. It's like, see, buddy, we're the place you want to be. This is it. Yeah. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
See you, Brittany.
All right. Again, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you as a subscriber there. Also, let me tell you something. Everybody loves a bargain. Okay. But the kind of bargain you can get at our national parks right now, it's not necessarily a good one if you want to keep our parks healthy and if you want to keep them around in the future. So now that it's Labor Day and beyond, it might be a good time to review how things have gone in our national parks generally and our national lakeshore, the Apostle Island specifically. And so let's bring in for our Way Up North segment, Jeff Renicky from Friends of the Apostle Islands. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Nice to join you from the wet shores of Lake Superior.
Yes, it most certainly is. Now, you and I both had seen the same New York Times article about the impact that President Trump's willful neglect of our national parks has had. There are 433 parks, and about a quarter of them have been significantly strained and understaffed because of the cuts. And then there's this whole notion when I talked about a bargain, they're so understaffed that there's, in many cases, nobody collecting fees that you should be paying for the upkeep of our parks. And so the trash is piling up and everything. But, you know, again, with people not paying, it kind of becomes like a doom loop. And Jeff, among the many things I'm sure you want to discuss, that has to be a very concerning one.
Oh, very much so. The whole season has been concerning. You know, going into your busy season with a 24% reduction in permanent staffing, a hiring freeze, only about half the seasonal workers you usually hire, you know, budget clampdowns, and frankly, historically low morale is not exactly a recipe for success. But I do have to say that despite the dire predictions, the summer season in our national parks generally went off relatively successfully. There were some closures and bumps in the road, sometimes literally because they didn't have any money to fix the roads. But there were no major disasters. And I think we should begin with a testament to the grit and the fortitude and the professionalism of our men and women of the National Park Service who went above and beyond the call of duty. But as you hint at, the warning signs are flashing red.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. And again, despite the best efforts, you have people who, you know, go off trails like in Yellowstone and they get burned by some of the, you know, the thermal vents that are there. You've always got the people who are trying to pet the fluffy cows. Please leave the bison alone, boys and girls. It's not a petting zoo. And I make light of what could get to be a bad thing. And again, I don't think either one of us is intentionally trying to be overly half full or half empty on this, except to say that there is an adequate staffing level. There is an adequate revenue level to get the most out of our national parks. And this administration, which has yet to nominate someone to run the National Park Service, does not appear to be interested in reaching that adequate staffing or funding level. So, I mean, it's gone great. It's gone okay so far, Jeff, but I guess what we're saying is, you know, don't get complacent about this.
No, because some of these problems will be long-term and some of them were pretty minor. I mean, we mentioned the garbage pickup and the clean bathrooms, you know, those are inconveniences and they have no place in our national parks, our crown jewels. But as you hint at, there's some very big concerns, things like in Voyageurs National Park, for instance, they were down to 4 out of 7 emergency response workers, and they had to limit their emergency responses to just 4 days a week out of the 7 days. In a place like Zion, another park in Utah, they get 500 emergency calls a summer season, and their staff for emergency response was down by 10%. Now, luckily, there wasn't this year any major problems that they weren't able to deal with, but you know it's coming. You know, sooner or later there will be something that they're not quite able to stand up and make happen the way they should.
We are talking to Jeff Renneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands about some of the cuts to the National Park Service and the impact of them. You know, lawmakers in Congress from both parties have been rather skeptical of the Trump cuts. There is Senator Angus King, independent of Maine, who said, if the Park Service is overstaffed, if there's waste, show it to us. Show us the data. Show us the number of people, where they are, which positions you feel are unnecessary and shouldn't be funded, which is the kind of thing we've said at the whole general level about government waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, show us. Don't just point to a big number and say, gosh, that's a big number, but point to the specific thing that you think is waste or abuse and, you know, have to be able to defend that. So you've got millions of people out there, Jeff, who love our national parks. How can people help if they want to express their opinions?
Well, the next big challenge, of course, is the budget fight, which we all know is coming up before October 1st. And I think there's a crack showing in the administration's attack on the parks. The Trump administration's skinny budget suggested a $1.2 billion cut for the National Park Service budget. That's 37%. The House Committee on Public Land said, well, thank you very much, but they suggested a $176 million cut, which is only 6%. So there's a battle brewing, which makes it a perfect time for people who love our national parks to stand up, make their opinions heard by discussing this with their representatives and joining groups like Friends of the Apostle Islands.org to try to make their voices heard for our crown jewels.
Very good. And, you know, again, we did talk about kind of some of the overarching problems at the national parks. I guess we'll end specifically about the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Any impacts this year or any concerns for the future that you wanted to lay out there for our listeners?
Yeah, let me give you two very quickly. First of all, it was a very successful season here, again, because of the great job of the Park Service people, a staff that was cut almost by 2/3, including the loss of the chief ranger and our superintendent. But so except for things like there was no ranger led tours at the Michigan Island Lighthouse, relatively small thing. It wasn't really visible to the general public. But let me give you an example of the domino effect here. We talked about those uncollected fees in places like Zion National Park. Well, 80% of those fees you pay at a park like Zion or the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone stay in the park. But that other 20% go into a pool which is dispersed among parks like the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore that doesn't have its own fee collection. So it's a domino effect hurting us here too.
Yeah. And so even if you can bypass the fees, make a donation and show your support for our national parks. Jeff Renneke with Friends of the Apostle Islands, thank you very much for all this background and helping to build support for our national parks. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. All right. Still ahead, we'll be talking about rural tourism opportunities as we escape to Wisconsin, as the old bumper sticker used to say. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I've got some interesting news for you today on this Wednesday morning as we close in on 6:23. We have our new newsletter editor starting today. That's right. Ellie Bordeaux is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. Born and raised in Oconomowoc and has called Wisconsin home her whole life, and introduces herself in our daily newsletter today. And then, of course, has all the usual great Wisconsin features and news stories, including a note here about Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley announcing that he's running for governor, and he will be joining us at 8:52 this morning. So get to know Ellie by signing up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Courier has outlets in several states, newsletters, podcasts, and more. One of those newsletters by Melissa Ryan is called Control-Alt-Right-Delete. It's a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And in this week's edition, Epstein survivors speak out, and they've got the receipts. Donald Trump's continued efforts to kill the public outrage about the Epstein scandal are not working. It is one of the rare issues that the vast majority of Americans can agree on. Don't obstruct those victims who are seeking justice. These women aren't going away, and the price of ignoring them is the ongoing speculation about just what is it that some powerful men are trying so hard to keep covered up. Read all about it in Control-Alt-Right-Delete from Melissa Ryan. Head over to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. You want an example of that denial? Give a listen to what Congressman Derek Van Orden said. This is a clip from Fox News that somebody grabbed off of Twitter and put the clip up. And he was asked about the newly released birthday card that was made for Jeffrey Epstein many years ago, including a note, a signed note by Donald Trump, with essentially a crude drawing of a woman on it. And Derek Van Orden, who is apparently a handwriting expert, had this to say about it.
Well, clearly the birthday note from President Trump is a fallacy. It's just not true. And that's a leftist talking point. It's horrible.
It's a fallacy, and it's a leftist talking point. It's evidence is what that is. He's babbling, and you could see it in the clip. He's babbling. He's struggling. Everybody else who's working so hard to defend Donald Trump is doing this. And I mean, to call this thing a fake, keep in mind, this particular birthday card, this note, has been seen for years and years and years, long before Donald Trump got into politics. It was out there. So for you to believe it was fake would be, that would be a grand conspiracy to go back 20 years and say, let's create this fake note because 20 years later, this guy's going to get elected president. And then we're going to nail him with this. I mean, I don't like using the S word, but this isn't ridiculous. It's stupid. It's stupid to believe and to defend that. Don't knee-jerk defend something like this. You should be asking questions, and you should be saying those questions deserve answers. But Derek Van Orden, like so many other people, Derek is convinced that Donald Trump has control over all just the right people. Why? Well, why wouldn't he believe that? Look how long Trump has lasted, even after being convicted on 34 felonies. The way somebody put it in Twitter world here, when you're in a cult, nothing matters more than protecting the leader. Why? Because your entire sense of self-worth and your entire worldview are predicated on the leader's success. If he goes down, you have nothing left, and that's what makes them so dangerous. Oh, but wait, there's more. Derek Van Orden loves his scrolling and trolling on social media. So it was very interesting that he commented on a post, but not some recent post. Somehow or another, he'd gone back 2 years at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin site and found a post from July 28th of 2023 with a photo of Derek Van Orden on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021. The post from July of 2023 is in the wake of Derek Van Orden harassing those teenage pages at the U.S. Capitol. Remember, late at night as they were in the Capitol Rotunda, and the State Democratic Party post put up the photo of Derek Van Orden from January 6th saying, let's not let anyone forget that Derek Van Orden crossed police lines taking selfies as a violent mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. All right, so again, that post was from July of 2023, but on Monday evening at 8:50 p.m., Derek Van Orden put a comment under that, and the comment read, hell yes, thank you for pointing out that I stand for voter integrity and respect our institutions. To which the Democratic Party of Wisconsin quickly responded to his post with this, saying, did you really spend your Monday night scrolling back through over 2 years of Facebook posts to brag about a violent attack on law enforcement and an attempt to overturn the 2020 election? Because that's exactly what it looks like, that this is somebody who will constantly search for himself on social media, the kind of guy who Googles himself and will go to every platform to see who's writing what about him and then respond to it. And he does that. He's in the comment sections everywhere, taking people down a notch for daring to criticize their member of Congress, who we expect to be better behaved. But when it starts by being on the Capitol grounds as a treasonous mob is around you, well, how could we set our sights much lower? Hey, where else can you find Guns N' Roses and Chuck Berry? Well, that'd be today's history lesson. That's coming up live from the lake after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.